That's Chris Franzi, Brad Thompson, Randy Carricker. It is the Fast Lane on 101 ESPN. The Blues and the Jets tonight, 6 o'clock, 7 o'clock with the face-off, 6 o'clock pregame here on 101 ESPN. Let's head to the Brown & Crouppen Celebrity Line, and our friend the Professor John Clayton joins us, as he does every Friday in the Fast Lane. Professor, great to have you with us. How are you doing this afternoon?
Oh, we're trying to get through the last part of this because Seattle, of course, being the first, say that Washington being the first, Arc is now down near the bottom, and so that's encouraging. So, there's hope here. So keep studying the numbers from the state of Washington and see how it handles it. It's not like they're going to open things up. I mean, at least through the whole month of April, there's going to be, stay at home and most things closed. But there's a little hope here that it's ahead of just about any other place in the country.
And that I was just going to say, it as a citizen, it's good to hear that you can see some light at the end of the tunnel.
And hopefully it's not a train. That's one thing that you don't want to see.
Oh, that's good. So residents overall, John, are doing a good job with the stay-at-home stuff, obviously, and will continue to do so, I would assume.
Yeah, because I would imagine, because all our lives are going to be changed after this in certain things, and I think everybody's got to make concessions and think of everybody else. Like, for example, the handshake. I think it's going to be a long time before that returns. I think that people now will minimize their trips to the grocery store. I sure hope so, because, again, in some places it gets way too crowded and too many people are buying too many things. But what you're starting to hope for is now that there can be some plan, whenever that can be, hopefully not too soon, that you can start reopening some of the things that have closed, because so many people are now financially strapped, being on furlough. You can see that the restaurant business is it's bleak right now in that area except for takeout, and you just want to start to see things coming back, but you don't want to rush it.
Yeah, and that's exactly what Dr. Fauci said yesterday. He said, what we are doing is working, which means we need to continue to do it. And I trust his word on it, and hopefully if we do, we can... there is no train at the end of the tunnel where we're seeing the light. Hopefully you're right about that. But it does look, as we turn to football, that it is there's not much light at the end of the tunnel for the XFL. They have decided to close up shop. Everybody has been let go. We knew there was some financing they had that they thought they could get through a couple of years, but that was before this season got canceled. Are you surprised?
Yeah, I am, because I know that the many times I've talked to Oliver Luck and then talking to the to top people and the general manager and that, they were pretty optimistic, even with the stoppage of the season, that it was going to be able to continue for at least two more years, because at that time, by the third year, then they can start getting maybe some good rights fees from the TVs. But then to just get the game out there and get it to the public, they set up great deals with great networks to be able to put the games on, and the quality of those broadcasts were sensational. But now I think what you can see is that they realize nobody knows when this thing is going to be able to come back, and you can put people in stadiums and all that stuff. So it's now time to just end it all. And the thing that you think, okay, can it come back? Sure, it can come back. But when they use the word shutdown, it looks like this thing's not going to reopen, and I think that's sad.
The Professor John Clayton with us on 101 ESPN. John, Todd Gurley had a conference call with Atlanta media today and talked about the Rams not paying him. He said, I need my money. How is this supposed to work? Is he supposed to have a check in hand right after they released him with the way his contract was set up?
No, and that's the thing that I think that he doesn't realize. Now, again, if he's owed the money, they got to pay him. But one of the clauses in his contract that he agreed to, there was a $250,000 offset. Now, the big thing was he had a roster bonus that was $7.55 million that was due. Okay, so now he ends up signing with the Atlanta Falcons for a little over $5 million a year, and he got more than $5 million in that. And so $250,000 of that has to come out, and so technically... or $2.5 million have to come out. So basically, the fact that he couldn't get the physical or couldn't get the contract in, and he still hasn't had the physical, now he had it put in Tuesday. Well, I mean, they didn't know what the contract was going to be until it came up on the waiver wire. So now that's going to be delayed because, again, they owe him $5.05 million. But, again, the fact that Tuesday was the first day they got the contract from the Rams, now you can see that the Falcons have paid him. And, of course, the money's owed him, but at some point they got to send it to him. But, again, it's one of those things where, he has it coming, but the fact that he didn't get his deal in until Tuesday delayed things.
Well, John, as you know, the Rams have been busy. They're cutting salaries like Todd Gurley's or trading him away like Brandon Cooks. He goes to the Texans, and I don't want to be in the group of just piling on for piling on, but I don't understand it with the Texans, with Bill O'Brien. So I want to know from you, when you saw this trade, when you see what the Texans are doing, what are your thoughts?
Yeah, I shake my head again, because think about what he's ended up doing. You know, DeAndre Hopkins, you know, one of the best five receivers in football, wants more money. Okay, he's making $16.2 million a year. All right, so then what's he do? He trades him to the Rams, or he trades him to the Cardinals. In return, he gets a $13 million a year contract from David Johnson, the running back, and he doesn't get a first-round pick. So now he comes back, and then he signs Randall Cobb for $9 million a year, and then makes this trade for Brandon Cooks, who, guess what? His contract is the same as DeAndre Hopkins, $16.2 million a year. And so with Kenny Stills making $8 million, Cobb making $9 million, you've got $10 million in Will Fuller on the fifth-year option, and now $16.2 on Cooks. They got $43 million a year tied up on wide receivers, and a $13 million guy that they're paying at running back in David Johnson. And now, in the meantime, they've got to pay over $19 million a year for Laremy Tunsil, close to $40 million to keep Deshaun Watson. It's ridiculous.
John,
oh, and by the way, just to add one point, yeah. All they did, you know, because as far as draft choice compensation, the only benefit that they had is they moved from 57th in the second round, the 57th pick, to number 40. So they move up 17 spots. And this is adding all this salary, all these big names, and, you know, not necessarily, and nobody's as good as DeAndre Hopkins. Sorry.
No, it's okay. We moving forward, we are going to have a draft here in a couple of weeks, and it sounds like there are some executives or teams that don't really think it's a good idea, don't really want to do it. Can this be done in such a way that it's you know, that the process is fine? I mean, it seems to me like these teams should be smart enough to be able to handle doing a teleconference draft.
Yeah, I mean, again, it's difficult, but, you know, when it gets too far, which is when you have coaches and general managers complaining about having IT people in their homes, I mean, please give me a break. And we've all gone through the transition. Now, of course, I did it 15 years ago, but everybody's gone through the transition for the most part of having an IT guy coming over, you know, setting everything up for the Comrex or whatever instrument's being used so you can do everything from the house. And you see that there's issues. I mean, at different times it'll cut out, the Wi-Fi will go down. You know, once we start getting into the warmer weather, then you have lightning storms that will cause problems, and that could be an issue. But again, when you're whining about IT guys coming into your house for safety, hey, stay, you know, you go upstairs and he can put the thing downstairs. I mean, give me a break.
How do you think this will work overall, though? Because it'll be really difficult, I would think, to make deals, right? When you have a war room, you've got three or four people that are manning telephones. Now, if you've got everybody in their homes, it seems like that aspect of the draft would be really difficult.
Yeah, I agree, and that's why I think that they're being a little naive in the league office to not expand the time period. Because, you know, when you start to think about, okay, once you get into the 10 and 5 minute rounds, you know, communication is going to be tough to try to work out trades. I mean, you can work them out to some way because you can pre-prepare and do these different things, but it's, you know, get a surprise by a draft choice and you can do it. I mean, I think it's fine for the first 2 days of the draft, but for day three, I think it's going to be very difficult because you only have like about 5 minutes to make any kind of a deal. I think that part needs to be extended.
John, what are people, I saw some of the video of Tua Tagovailoa, what are people saying about his quote-unquote pro day, if you will?
I think they came out with good reviews. I mean, because two things that Lee Steinberg did, his agent, was to at least, you know, put out the medical reports that he's fine. And again, it's like, and this is where sometimes as we get closer to the draft, you know, guys get beat up, which is unfair because, for example, you know, you talk about the injuries, and I'm not talking about Mike Lombardi's report, but again, the reality is that, well, how can you draft a guy that has ankle surgeries, and how can you draft a guy that has these wrist problems? Well, guess what? At the combine, every doctor in the league checked out Tua. So they know exactly where that stands, and that shouldn't be an issue. What they didn't know was what's going on with the hip injury and coming back from hip surgery. Well, the league helped that out by having the Tennessee team doctor meet with Tua, and they were able to at least get a good medical report on that. So I think some of that stuff can be exaggerated, but also what has to be a reality, there are teams that are going to have to look at the fact that he's had a lot of injuries and could be injury-prone in the pros. You know, that could drop him a little bit, but I still think he goes to Miami at 5.
What sort of analyst will Drew Brees be?
I think he's going to be real good because I think that, you know he's got a great football mind. I think that, I don't know how he's going to sound speaking-wise, but, you know, in press conferences and interviews, he sounds good, but I think he can be good. I don't think he's going to be as good as Tony Romo because I think that Tony has a very unique style because one thing that you hear in Tony, he'll almost pick the play out based on the formation, and then on top of that, what he does is that, he gets excited about it. I mean, he sits like a fan watching something that he thinks is fun, so I think that's going to be okay.
John Clayton, always great to have you with us. Be safe this weekend. Enjoy your Easter, and we'll talk to you next week.
Okay, sounds good.
That is the professor, John Clayton, joining us here in the Fast Lane on 101 ESPN. Always good information from John. Next up, if you're looking for an excuse to eat some chicken wings this weekend, we've got it. That's next before Take It or Leave It on 101 ESPN.